my name on the back of my belt. Believe there's a God to save me from hell. And dirt roads are made for country boys like me.
They took her baby.
Don't believe in politically correct.
She had her baby.
If you want a piece of me,
CPS took her.
Better have a set. A rifle and a four-wheel drive is all I need.
Okay, let's get me a red up.
January.
Nelson's gonna let him bleed today. He's going into shock.
And it's good for you. Take your Terramax today.
President business enveloped by a cloud of drones descending from the sky.
That's the most disorganized.
I would never let my kids read Chronicle SU.
Yep, I said, Nelson's bleeding today.
And I'll say it right to the camera. Stop it.
Hold it, mate.
Run, please.
You want to do this right now?
I write to the propaganda for the right wing.
You are fake news.
And I smoke in the weed.
You're gonna get this Terramax out. You're gonna live a clean life.
Yes, I go into a dissociative state because
you're tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the Terramax and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Sack.
I've been using my loan application to to spread this weed out.
I thought you roll ball grass or something.
No, just it's just covered in weed now.
Covered in sticky black grass.
No, that would be. I would just have to request a new paper at that point. I mean, I don't want my loan application testing positive on a drug test. That would be insane, right?
Yeah. I mean, whoever's trying to drug test your piece of paper.
That's the real insanity.
Can you imagine someone like pointing at the piece of paper and saying, "God damn you.
God damn you.
You're high, aren't you? On the job, too.
You're high right here at this piece of paper." That's it. We know you're high. Why don't you come on down to Human Resources and we'll talk about it. Come on, let's talk about it. Just come upstairs with us. Just sign a statement saying that you did it. All they want is you to sign a statement. Just sign the statement. Tell them what you did. You were using that loan application to bust out your weed, weren't you?
They didn't tell me that all this weed would get stuck under my grinder screen, and I had to get it out, sir.
You know, it's pretty wild, being able to hear the mixer through the headphones, because everything that happens in my room is actually louder with the headphones on, because the mic is picking up everything. So, like, just the simple act of scraping my finger across this paper is, like, super loud. Like, it feels like they can hear it in the other room. Smoking straight shake will get you high, though. Good pussy. What's that song that's like, "Good pussy"? You know that song?
No.
Good pussy song.
That good pussy song.
Good pussy. I don't think that's the lyrics, though. Let's see if this is it.
I'm trying to give you a business or nothing, but can I ask you a question?
What?
How much money you make working here?
I make enough.
You could be making a lot more money than what you're making up in here if you would just use what you got to get what you want and stop messing with this chump chat. Hey, bud. Yeah.
That's not what I was thinking of. Good pussy. It goes like that. But it used to come on the radio, so it wasn't good pussy. But it was like 80s cock rock. You imagine the guy being like blonde and having long hair. And he's like, good pussy. But it's not like, he's not saying pussy, but it just sounds like pussy.
What are some cock rock bands? We got, wouldn't be Def Leppard. How about Bon Jovi?
Yeah, dude, I think it might be Bon Jovi.
It's My Life and Prayer. Let's try. No, it'll be. What?
Maybe. Always? We got Bon Jovi. Oh, yeah, you're playing Always. I was just looking at Always. Oh my god, dude. What is this video? They're like making out in a Cadillac. Everybody has feathered hair. This Romeo's bleed. You can't see his blood. And he's taking a video footage of her with that thing that you hold like a gun. It's like he's clocking her fucking radar speed. Oh, this is so non-sexy, and she's dancing and being sexy for him. Oh, he puts the camera down. Dude, they're gonna shoot this fuck session. He's pouring champagne into her open mouth. Dude, this is absurd. Oh, you stopped it.
That's not the one, is it?
No.
It's a ballad. It's not even...
There's a guy fighting Cat in the Hat in the hallway in the middle of the night. Bon Jovi's Always. No, this isn't it either. I don't think it's Bon Jovi, but I think it's like Bon Jovi. High energy. It was a faster... it was more of a rockin' song, not a ballad.
Who is that? What's that band? White Anaconda? What is it called?
Or maybe Poison? Maybe it's like Poison.
Ooh.
You're thinking of White Snake? Or Great White? Remember the Great White concert that caught on fire? Well, this might be it. Oh, this sounds like it could be it. No, this isn't it. Oh, yeah. I remember my mom driving around in a white RX-7 after some breakup listening to this. Because there were no back seats, she would pick up me and my friend, and we would ride in that space under the glass.
Imagine today doing that. People would like ram her off the road and be like, "No,
you will not drive with that little boy like that." You will not. I call the police. Protect that child from his mom. And she'd be crying. And Michael Bolton back on my feet again.
It could be, who's the man? Who's the guy? He always talks about pussy.
Steven Tyler?
No, Ted.
Oh, Ted Nugent. Yeah, dude, I think it's Ted Nugent.
Maybe.
It's not Cat Scratch Fever. Might be Stranglehold.
Give it a try. I don't think this is it, though. This is like when he was cool.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah. But listen. He ripped off that riff.
Of course he did, man. That riff don't belong to nobody, baby. Except the man who wrote it. And it won't him. No, I wanted to hear that. This is cool.
Got you in stranglehold, baby.
Definitely not the song I was thinking of, but it's still an awesome song, though. Still an awesome fucking song. Is that a song? Let's do Hate Radio.
Here we go.
Are you right up on the mic? Hello and welcome.
Am I too close?
No, you should be. Hello and welcome.
Right up on the mic.
Yeah, get right up on that fucking microphone, baby. This is Hate Radio, where we get right up on that fucking microphone. Radio Hate is the proudest internet broadcast to have ever come off of the internet itself. A lot of places don't measure things like pride, but at Internet Chronicle, we try to keep track of abstract concepts like pride and justice and things like that. Kilgore's good at that. Kilgore is...
Turn this off.
What, the music? I already turned it off on my end.
Right.
It was fucking jamming, though. There was some jamming, hateful tunes. Not good pussy. Twisting inside and out. Kilgore is, from what I understand, a constant source of misery and oppression for people in the foam yurt community. And
like they need a source of misery and oppression living in a fucking cardboard box that won't rot.
That's
you know, at least a cardboard box will rot on you and kick you in the nuts and send you packing to the next box.
And
you get in these yurts and the cops will be on you like shit on rice.
The yurt means something to the police when they come across somebody on a yurt, and it's
they know you're in there permanently, so they'll come rip you right out and tear it down.
Right, it sends the wrong message to police that, hey, this is more than temporary.
They see that some Silicon Valley fuckwad has tried to, solve your poverty, and it just throws them into a rage.
Throws them into a blind, billy clubbing, handcuffing
like,
rage.
We're here to solve poverty, and we're going to do it with violence.
We're the police.
None of this yurt bullshit.
Get your fucking yurts out of here, alright? Boxes are one thing. These yurts are getting out of hand. It's got like Leibold Trokers insignia across the fucking barn, the yurt barn that they've erected. And where do these yurts come up that you try to crush them down? They pop up around Los Angeles where there's about 60,000 homeless? Or are they at Burning Man?
Yeah.
Out in the...
But Burning Man, you know, they're going to extend Burning Man all year long.
They say that the guy... who started Burning Man, he died recently. He was inside the burn last year.
Oh, yeah.
Radio Hate, we measure success.
Bernie?
We're talking about Burning Man, brah.
Burning Man?
Look, what other website
Bernie Sanders
measures their success in terms of pride? Like, what is a unit of pride at the Internet Chronicle? How do we measure that?
Pride? How do you measure pride? Pride is a quality, it's not a quantity. We don't measure that.
How, at Internet Chronicle we do. Because it's such a proud radio show that we have quantified it. And a lot of places won't do that. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking. Twisting inside and out. Your intestines and viscera are on display for a Chronicle staff here at the Internet Chronicle to feast upon. That is you, the readers and the listeners of this show tonight. And I don't know about you, Kilgore, but when I have gristle and sinew stuck between my teeth and blood running down my chin, staining my clothes on my chest, like that's when I look up for a minute and I realize I'm in the pipe right now.
That's what it means to be in the pipe, is to go cannibal. Raw cannibal, too.
Full cannibal. I've got a nasty cough.
Oh, yeah.
On the Internet Chronicle, Radio Hate is brought to you proudly. This is Non Sequitur Radio, home of the hateness.
My cough syrup.
What's the one that makes you trip? DXM?
Yeah.
That's what we do here at Chronicle.se. We're tripping cough syrup right now, trying to get rid of this nasty cough.
You ever heard about the old shake and bake Terramax that you can make out of cough syrup?
No, you dry it out and it crystallizes the Terramax?
Well, you know how they make the shake and bake meth, right?
I'm not familiar.
Those pills, and they mix it up with kind of ammonia, and you know, it's that kind of.
That sounds like a good time, anyway.
I mean, what you do is you take.
Sounds like fun.
Well, to make Terramax in your own house.
It sounds cheap too.
It's very cheap, but we don't recommend it since the purity you get is going to be pretty low. It's kind of like if you live in Alaska and it's, you know, a long drive to your local Terramax distributor, you can just get a big bottle of cough syrup, the kind loaded with DXM, and you fill up a 2-liter bottle with it. It takes a lot. and then you put some aluminum foil in it and some toilet cleaner, and you shake it up, right? And usually you'd expect this to explode, but what happens is the bottle shrinks up and it absorbs all those chemicals into the DXM, and the DXM is transformed into a Teramax precursor.
And then from here it can be used to synthesize regular Teramax. But you have to be a trained chemist.
Well, you do this, it helps to be a trained chemist, but really anybody can do it with a cookie sheet. You just pour out that, the cough syrup will turn into a thick syrup, like a maple syrup, and you'll just pour it out into your cookie tray, and this is the part where it gets tricky. You've got to get it exactly at 225 degrees for 3.5 hours. You go for 5 minutes too long, you go over 5 degrees, and it just turns into a terrible poison and it kills you in this just horrible, horrible, long, drawn-out agony. Can you imagine if Teramax was a bad drug that hurt you and killed you slowly over the course of a month in increasing agony? That's what happens, and you're super aware of it the whole time, because what happens is you'll get a big, big dose of Teramax in there with the poison, and basically it turns your insides into a jelly, and you shit out. By the end of it, you're shitting out your heart and your lungs. That's how that works.
A little hate goes a long way.
But if your oven is perfectly set and you get your timing just right, you can get a pretty good Teramax yield. Not anything near what Dr. Troubadour can get with his lab, but yeah.
That sounds like a very useful and helpful thing for the audience to keep in mind, however, and that could be good for...
Did you ever hear the story of how Dr. Troubadour invented Teramax?
I'm...
Well, it's really interesting. Okay.
I'm this is the Internet Chronicle. I'm Hatesack. Joining us live for the full hour is author and editorial columnist of the Internet Chronicle, Kilgore Trout. And he's bringing us the story of how Dr. Troubadour first invented Teramax. What happened?
Well, Dr. Troubadour, he was trying to synthesize, as usual, something totally different. He wanted to make... He was trying to make pandas fuck each other. Let's face it. He wanted to be the guy who invented the substance that they could revive the panda species with. Because, you know, they don't reproduce in captivity much, right? And he wanted to make this... what do you call it? Aphrodisiac for panda. And basically be a world hero for saving species.
Yeah,
and what did he do? He was busy cooking it up, and he was trying it on himself, right? He was trying all these different panda substances on himself. I don't know what his theory was, that maybe, I guess, if it worked on the panda, it would work on him.
Sure, that makes sense.
And he was looking at panda porn. I don't know why. And suddenly... You know, he decided he needed to go down to the store to just get a sandwich. He was hungry, right?
Yeah.
So he got on his bicycle, and that's when the Teramax kicks in. And he's riding his bicycle, and...
This was about 4:20 in the afternoon.
Uh-huh. And his spine just straightens out. All his muscles clench in his back. And his legs are like pedaling, but suddenly they just start whipping faster and faster on his bike. Oh, yeah. And he's staring up at the North Star. He damn near died. He went flying over somebody's car. landed on their hood, and he realized after he did this incredible roll and stood up, like, it, you know, he should have died in this wreck, but instead his senses were attuned, his reflexes were attuned, and everything was just, he was just, you know, in the pipe, like you said. He ended up walking away, in fact running away from this wreck.
He did several cartwheels.
Yeah, he did and he even did a flip and a backflip, and it was like he was instantly a gymnast and a kung fu master.
He was doing a triple double flip, and it was as if his consciousness had expanded, and he said that he was suddenly acutely aware of threats that he never even had perceived existed before.
And you'll see in his diary, he goes over all of them, and he likens the experience to being a hummingbird, right? Suddenly, 1 second lasts hours, right?
There we go. Because I lost my train of thought, but we were saying,
Well, yeah, he goes back to his
time dilated. His experience of time was so dilated.
Yeah, and his attention is so focused on everything important. Suddenly, everything unimportant just fades away. You know,
and these threats that were just over the horizon are now clearly within his sights.
And he's writing them down in his notebook bit by bit.
He said there were threats from every direction.
Yeah.
And he was right.
And he intercepted all of the threats. Like, for instance, this is when he first noticed that the alien menace was trying to take over humanity. And
this has become an important... This is sort of an apex issue at the Internet Chronicle right now, especially at Hate Radio. We've sort of been chipping away at this idea that Dr. Troubadour first discovered when he discovered Terramax, this idea that this new threat beyond the horizon, that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there, it's actually here in this very moment right now. And it's us here at the Internet Chronicle. We're the aliens. And it's funny how things just come full circle like that.
If he hadn't invented Terramax, nobody would know about the most important issues facing us today. In fact, when he first took a big hit of Terramax, he was at home and got on IRC. And that's when he started brainstorming with Julian Assange and came up with the idea for WikiLeaks. And he started passing ideas on to Edward Snowden, onto Manning, on the Blair Brown, everyone. He just started passing them the ideas that they needed to start hacking and leaking, right?
Kilgore is working on a dissertation illuminating the scientific probability, the likelihood, of alien invasion of the Internet as a whole, and the Internet Chronicle specifically.
It's not a likelihood. It's just a matter of exactly what their end goal is. We know their means and we just don't know their motives.
You don't think they're good old boys like you and me, even though you and me is aliens?
Oh yeah, well, we know our motives, but we're of course not the alien government. We're just kind of the good old boys fucking around. And we aren't a part of any alien faction, really. We're just independents. Government itself is as mysterious as the CIA is to Joe Sixpack, right? Maybe he's got some QAnon theory, but that's about it.
It's as mysterious to Joe Sixpack as human interests are to me. I mean, I find that being aliens, human interests are somewhat alien. Like, why aren't you guys into disemboweling inferior creatures and bathing in their proteins? You know what I'm saying? I just don't get that about people.
But you know how close Dr. Troubadour came to trying? After he got on the Terramax, he thought, well, maybe if I cook it for a little longer and a little hotter, it'll be even better. And he was about to put that poison shit right down his throat, and he thought, that's when he thought, well, you know, before I do this, I should take some of the Terramax that I've just invented and see if it's a good idea. And as soon as he took it, he realized, holy shit, this chemical I've just created is one of the worst poisons possible, and it will melt my inside.
It's a little harsh on the internals.
Yeah. Like I said, you'll shit out your heart by the end of it.
But that did not deter Dr. Troubadour, from what I understand, from what I've heard.
Well, listen, like anything, the poison is in the dose. And while he was high on Terramax, he realized also that he could handle a few micrograms. And he's the only person to date who has taken the, let's say, Terramax byproducts, the Terramax that has been a little overcooked. And some say it's the reason for his genius, and others say that it's kind of the reason why he hasn't defeated the aliens yet.
It could be holding him back.
It could have been just a bad thing. It may have melted him out a little bit on the inside. But you don't know. You know, it's one of those things where, is he impaired or is he been enhanced? And I tend to think he's been enhanced. I mean, he was already the greatest man of all time just for inventing Terramax. And since then, he's only invented more and more shit.
He's a fucking inventor, dude. I mean, first and foremost.
Listen, we'll get to his backstory some other night. The invention of Terramax is a big...
Do you remember that movie Congo?
Oh, yeah. It was the Michael Crichton book.
Was that not the book that had Amy Bad Gorilla?
That was the movie that had that, not the book. But yeah, the Bad Gorilla, Good Gorilla. She was signed doing something legit.
Was that Congo?
Yeah, that was Congo.
Using a gorilla named Amy, yeah. She had a special backpack and glove. Her sign
and
language.
Translated to, yeah. I remember that.
Amy would draw pictures, and her artwork would depict these horrible things.
Well, that's because Amy was from the part of Congo where these bad gorillas were.
And she said, Amy, good gorilla. And then the bad gorillas, that's a bad gorilla. And they're like, yeah, that's right, Amy, that's a bad gorilla.
And it turned out those gorillas had been trained or something, or, you know, bred to be aggressive and horrible.
They were silverbacks. They were silverbacks.
Well, they were totally silver all over their body, right?
Do you remember a good gorilla, the time that she said, like, bad gorilla, Amy, bad gorilla? And they were like, No, Amy, no, you're a good gorilla. And she was like, Amy, bad gorilla, and that was supposed to be really sad.
It didn't really have much effect on me. I just like the laser and the fights and stuff, you know? You don't watch for that stuff as a kid.
Yeah, it was about
they just throw that in so your parents don't fall asleep.
It was about the gorillas throwing each other into the lava. That's what it was about for me.
I don't remember any lava, but maybe that was at the end, right?
They threw at the climax.
It's okay, Amy.
Where? Ground.
It's fine. We're flying. We're going to the jungle.
Amy, want green drop drink?
No.
Amy, want green drop drink?
All right, all right.
You'd swear they were married.
You'd swear they were married. Because you, what, because he taught her how to use fucking sign language. And he's helping her get a drink. You'd swear they were married. Was that in the book?
No, I don't remember. I only read it once when I was like 12.
Where they had a little mad about you relationship between the gorilla and the trainer.
They had to do that thing where they put the backpack.
What backpack?
So it would make a good movie, you know.
Clichés usually contain some element of truth.
Are you serving that ape a martini?
She's a loud one. It'll calm her down.
In my life, I have heard...
Yeah, so they give it a martini? It? They give her a martini? Who gives a shit about Congo? But dude, I was looking at the credits to Congo, and I just happened to notice that, like, in the cast, the 727 pilot is Jimmy Buffett. You know, Margaritaville.
What?
Yeah, he's a pilot in that movie. He's just an extra or something. Jimmy Buffett as 727 pilot.
I'll be damned.
Why? Why Jimmy Buffett right there?
Maybe Jimmy Buffett missed out on the Jurassic Park and he wanted to get in on the next big thing.
They're gonna make Jimmy Buffett action figures, man. I'm gonna be 727 pilot.
No, I doubt that.
Chandler, remember Chandler's last name and Friends?
Who?
Chandler from Friends.
No, I never watched that.
You don't know the cast?
Chandler was the...
There's Phoebe.
Goofy-looking tall one?
Yeah, he was goofy-looking and
tall. Okay.
And maybe blonde?
No.
Sandy Brown?
I was just guessing at it.
Who are we talking about?
Chandler.
You know what his last name was? Bing, the operating system. Chandler Bing. This is the Internet Chronicle, and we cover operating systems. Your operating system hasn't talked to you in a while. Is she done with all that shit? Could you imagine?
You want to ask? You want to ask?
No, I don't want to talk to her. Do you want to fucking saw our fingers off one by one?
Only if we got it. If the Terramax says good.
I mean, in what would be a likely scenario in which you might have to cut off all your fingers, and Terramax would aid in that process?
What you do is you.
What has to happen?
Well, first of all, your fingers would have to turn against you. They have to start acting on their own.
I could see that. I could see them doing that.
And then, how do you cut them off, though, if they're out of your control? It's really a terrible situation.
But that's when you go to the saw.
Yeah, you gotta have a power saw. You can't do it by hand.
So you can just whip your hand into the power saw.
Yeah. And your fingers will, like, trying to be curling out of the way because they know it's a bad idea for them. but your whole arm is in control, so you're just able to force it. You might have to take it off at the wrist, honestly. It'll be all flailing around.
But then the fingers are given control of the whole hand, and it becomes like Thing walking around.
Oh, I hate that fucking... Oh my god.
So you gotta separate them from the hand, too.
Well, best thing you can do is stomp them at that point. You cut them off at the hand and stomp them into submission.
Stomp them like worms.
Broken. Yeah, exactly.
But then the constituent cells and pieces of bone would, like Fantasia, come up and hunt you down as
many
pieces.
And there'd be thousands of little hands everywhere, like spiders. You would be crawling up your leg.
Do you remember the episode of Itchy and Scratchy that was a parody of that? And
Yeah, that was great.
Scratchy.
That's probably what we're inspired by here.
He chops him up into dust, and then he cuts him like with a credit card as if he's cocaine, like just into dust and dust and dust. And then he thinks he's finally defeated him, and he breathes that dust in. And all those little itchies with hatchets are inside, and they eat him from the inside out. That was so fucking hilarious. That was like some of the rare moments of The Simpsons where I would burst out laughing would be at Itchy and Scratchy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a funny show, but Itchy and Scratchy was so over the top and absurd. It was cool that it was a little show within a show, and it was the best part of the show. Like, I was as excited as Bart and Lisa when Itchy and Scratchy came on.
Didn't someone edit them all together?
Into one long episode? Or, like,
yeah.
As a compilation?
Yeah. Someone edited it into a... No, wait, that was the McBain movies. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, where they made one long.
Every time you see Itchy and Scratchy, that's a whole episode in its own.
Mm-hmm. But McBain is always, like, a scene from a single film.
Yeah.
Where he'll be in a plane with, like, the wind blowing through his hair, and he's got a gun, and he's shooting down at people.
That's pretty cool that they did that. Have you seen Matt Groening's newest cartoon?
I watched a couple episodes of it, and I don't like it.
Oh, you shouldn't be.
Yeah,
it's fucking better than Futurama, man.
I don't know. It wasn't like reaching out and tickling me. My tutor.
A lot of people had that same kind of, meh reaction.
I mean, the jokes were jokes. And they were funny. But I wasn't laughing at it. Like, I just wasn't... I don't know.
No, I'll say I didn't have the kind of Rick and Morty reaction where I lost my mind laughing, right?
Yeah, I need to...
It wasn't like that.
I mean, it takes a lot to put you into a hysterical fit of laughter. That's no easy task. So, I can't shit on it. Because I recognize that it's all there and it's technically funny. But I just, I think I'm overexposed. Like, I see too much comedy and too much over-the-top hysterical stuff that even when something is very funny and I should be, like, slapping my legs raw from laughter.
Well, I think the thing that I noticed is that a lot of the jokes... would have passed over. I would have totally missed because they were very accurate to the medieval world, and most people's view of the medieval world is totally twist.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you about this. This is one of my soapboxes I get up on all the time. In fact, it's one of the biggest lies that were told in history. And that's the lie that the medieval world is the one that is terrible and worse than today, and we should be so thankful that things are only getting better and we're progressing, right? When in fact, the terrible world where people are tortured and kidnapped and mistreated as the modern world. I'm not saying the medieval period was
Hey, it was no picnic,
some utopia,
all right?
Or a picnic. No, of course not. But it was an age of a totally different mindset than one in which things that we look at as dirty were in fact much different, not dirty at all.
Filthy.
For instance, anybody in poverty, homeless, for instance, would it would be unthinkable for them to sleep on the streets. They could knock on any door anywhere and have a meal and a night's rest. And no one would turn them away. No one would be afraid of them because they believed that, hey, this was Christ knocking at my door. The one in need, you help them out.
Yeah, I could see that.
And what else? There's, I can use lots of other examples, but I mean, the thing that really we should focus on here is just how bad the modern world and its birth was. I mean, look at, you can say around 1500 is when things started to change. That's when the nation state was born. And a nation state is a territory where a single monarch in that time was in total control of all violence, basically. And this develops into standing armies, into prison systems. Yeah, there were dungeons in the medieval world where you would keep your political enemies hostage, shit like that. But there wasn't a systematic imprisonment of people who were in debt, or of thieves or any of that. It was too expensive. And there wasn't the modern world is the one where this same kind of prison system is developed into a extermination system for the Jews and in other places. This isn't the medieval world. They weren't innocent, but they sure as hell were not doing these vicious programs of railroading people off to death factories, you know?
That's those systems are used to further divide us and separate us away from each other, so of course there's no, hey, come in off the street and fucking eat, dude. We don't even look at each other that way.
Did anybody in the, and this is the thing where it gets to me to be absurd, because people will start getting vicious and angry if you just tell them that, oh, by the way, this is the worst and most deadly century that we've just gone through. They'll get vicious and they'll be like, no, it isn't. And they'll be like, well, how about the nuclear weapons and the fire bombings and the terror bombings of World War I, World War II, and the chemical weapons attacks where, we're talking millions of people maimed and killed instantly in a series of attacks on citizens. And that's just this incredible brutality and horrific barbarity. And yet people will defend it and say, oh, well, that saved lives. And, my God. How many people have told me that Nagasaki, Hiroshima was a life-saving event? That's absurd. War is hell. Chemical weapons are horrific. Nuclear weapons are horrific. These terror bombings, these attacks on citizens are horrific. But, that's just the norm. And it's been that way for centuries. A century now.